way.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took the cross.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in providing this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All righty, bring your testicles and backbone and gather around here. We got a few things to talk about. Running a little bit late, although I was only late getting started, so I closed my, shortened up my intro quite a bit so we could get in here. So we're not doing too bad. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 9th of April, and things are still falling apart at a rapid rate. Let me whip my screen up here and the lights reflecting. There we go. That's better. Okay. Let me catch my breath here. Boy, I had to go to my, you know, Wednesday nights is, I'm the scoutmaster for the 11-year-old Boy Scouts up there. They're kind of the ones that's caught in the middle. I guess they're, I think they're Weebelows, I think. And not quite Boy Scouts yet, but they're out of Cub Scouts. So they're going through their little book here, and they got some things that they need to do, some tasks that need to be completed before they're 12. And one of those was cooking. And I said, oh, great. That's just what I need. Go cook with Boy Scouts. Well, it's okay, because I've only got a couple of Boy Scouts anyway. There's and come May, next month, I'll be out of a job, at least until August, because we don't. That'll be the end of the 11-year-olds. They're turning 12. So Wednesday nights will be a little more comfortable, a little more easy for me until August, and then I'll be getting another one or two. So that's the way it stands right now. So anyway, we're going to cook. What are we going to cook? Well, I come flying in here screaming around the corner, running about late. I was already 3 minutes later than what I told them I was going to be. So I had Amy help me. I threw a laundry basket on the counter, threw a skillet in it and a toaster and some bread and butter and knives and forks and everything I could find, a spatula, and put a dozen eggs in a coffee can with a towel in it, and off we went in a can of Pam. And off we went, and I got there, I was 6 minutes late. So it's not too bad. That's all I've been doing for the last, I don't know how long, screaming around corners and trying to get places on time. The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. I don't know where we're going, but we're sure making good time. So it appears that there's a lot of folks actually do know where they're headed. And there are some that are headed for Nevada right now. And this has the potential to be the straw that broke the camel's back here. To know what there's news coming in here all the time. What some of you may have heard on Facebook and some of the officers, you know, there are some benefits to listen to the unconventional news outlets and stuff, but there's also some liabilities. Because anybody can put anything on there right now. Of course, that's not so unlike what they're doing with mainstream media. But they feed on the frenzy, and when people are all excited about that, you know, they know what they want to hear, so they put on these blogs and chat rooms and stuff just exactly what people expect that they should be hearing. And one of the things that I heard today is that they have driven those cows out of there and moved them over to a pit type thing and were slaughtering them and burying them. And that is not true. I thought it was. What can help you?
Did you forget
calling? No, we're going to have to call her cell phone and find out what's going on. I didn't forget her. I had to go. But we can either run back and get her, or she can ride with, what's her name over there? So give her a call and see where she's at. She's probably looking for me. Sorry about that. But, apparently there are some militia already on site. I don't know how true that is. I know that there's some that are prepared to. I don't know how big the deal is. I know they can't get very close. Whether or not they're actually on the property with Mr. Bundy, I don't know. Or whether they're on the outside, where the where the First Amendment zone is, where the little ribbon is that says you can have constitutional rights up to this point, and after you leave here, then you don't have any, is what they're doing there. And so I don't know if I don't know how many people are actually getting in there, but anyway, it is not true. Let me back up to what I was saying. It is not true that the cows are being slaughtered and buried. That is some kind of stupid crap that somebody made up. I know for an absolute fact, without any shadow of a doubt, that there were some Arizona cows mixed in with them. They got all those separated, put them back where they were, and the other cows have been shipped out. So that is the truth. That's the whole story. It is also true. Some of you heard that there are snipers out there. Yes, there are. That is the truth. I don't know what agency they're with. As far as I know, BLM doesn't have any snipers, so I don't know who is out there helping them, whether there's FBI or DEA, or I don't know if DEA has any or not. But anyway, there are government snipers out there. There are paid cowboys, what I would call rogue cowboys, and I would call them more than that if it weren't for the family-type atmosphere that we try to maintain to some degree around here. These cowboys are anything but. Now, my idea of a cowboy, professional paid government cattle rustlers, that's what's there. Yeah, that's right. My idea of cowboys, I was raised on a ranch, and I was raised around cowboys, and I've pretty much been one most of my life. I worked on a great big ranch down in Texas for a while. I worked on a smaller one up in Colorado for a bit, and we had our own place for a while. So, I mean, I've been around a little bit, and the cowboys that I know, that I have been around, are not so much unlike the cowboys in that movie. What was it? Something Range. Open Range. Open Range is quite possibly one of the best westerns, modern westerns out there today. It is an absolutely awesome movie. The cowboys that I know around the country, mostly in the West, are they're not interested in having their rights violated, and a lot of them are not even real sure. Some of the ones that I've known, they're not even real sure what the Constitution says exactly, and that's what makes it so beautiful, because they know by virtue of being a man, an American, they just know that there's certain things that we're born with and it's not supposed to be messed with. They don't have to read the Constitution to know that. They know that there are that there are certain, as they say, inalienable rights. Do all of them know exactly where they come from or how they're protected? Unfortunately, probably not. Some of them. But what they do know is that I'm not hurting you. I don't want you to hurt me. You mind your business. I'll mind mine. And we'll get along fine. And that's really about all there is to it. And they're very much okay with that. So they call these... they call these people cowboys. If they are in fact local cowboys, then they have degraded to the rank of apprentice jackbooted thug. They are so sorry, low-life, scum-sucking, bottom-feeding pukes. Each and every one of them. I hope that all of them are listening to this program, and I hope that you all choke to death on your Copenhagen. You're trash, garbage, crap. You are assisting to violate the rights and the private individual rights of one of your own citizens there. You suck. Is what you do. And so does everybody else that's involved in this. I don't hold a whole hell of a lot of stock in what Alex Jones says either. I think that he sensationalizes things to a point where you have just enough truth sprinkled in there to make everybody excited about it, and then does other thing. I don't know that for a fact, but I have a little faith in some of the things that he says. Trying to look at some of the stuff being posted here. I still have a problem with this whole tortoise thing. These tortoises have been there for how long? And a cow's been there for how long? And all of a sudden it's a problem for some reason? Who is trying to call me? Stand by just a minute.
Hey, babe. No, Amy's been trying to call you.
Everybody talks about the California quakes, but the first time I ever felt the earth shake was in Miami. When Andy touched me, oh, it shook me. I told her I loved her and I wanted to stay, but But she said, be sure, and I'll call you L.A. Even in a taxi, I could hear my telephone ring. Calling me from Miami. Miami. What took you so long?
All right, we're back. I got a stranded daughter out there, so we had to take care of that little problem. It's I don't think there's any tortoises being killed. They have been eating cow poop and getting along fine for all these years, and they may have found one that was dead somewhere, or they may have even created them. But I don't think it's a real problem. But it doesn't matter because it's too bad. It's on this guy's property. If you don't want your tortoises killed, then you come in and move them to somebody else's property or to some government wildlife management area somewhere or something like that. The tortoises were never an issue back in 90-something when this all come about. I don't know. I'll have to read some of these links and see what's going on here. That's my thing, Keto. The turtles are still there. Cows have been there for 140 years, and everything's getting along fine. If the government's killing them, then so what? That means nothing to me. If they want to kill the turtles, then let them kill the turtles. But anyway, we'll check into that. What is this picture here? First Amendment area. Yeah, you have to get by. Yeah, boy, that just really doesn't sit well with me. Here's your Ty Jacks, buddy. Where you been? Long time no see. Welcome. Been quite a while. But anyhow, I we'll let this go for now. Well, no, we won't either. There is a there's a Republican senator up there that is he's added his voice to the critics of the federal cattle roundup. And let's see, Senator Dean Heller of Nevada said he told the BLM chief that law-abiding Nevadans shouldn't be penalized by an overreaching agency. So there's now what's going to happen out of this is probably nothing. You know, we told Congress told Eric Holder, things he was doing wrong and found him wrong. They found Bill Clinton was doing things wrong. They got all these facts and proof and evidence and all this stuff, but nothing changes. Nothing has changed since Nixon. And their impeachment means nothing. The Constitution means nothing. Nothing means nothing. We're just not. It's frustrated. I can't even think straight here. But anyway, there's a couple of groups headed up there, and I don't know how successful they will be. I don't know how they will be received, what's going to happen when they get there. But it doesn't look rosy up there. There are people that I've talked to through various, emails and blogs and stuff like that. And they said, well, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what happens. And they're not inclined to take off and head up there, you know, and drive, you know, 500-600 miles or whatever it is from where they're at. They're not inclined to go up there and get in the middle of it, because when they get there, they're going to find that the, you know, roads are going to be blocked off, and the fight's going to have to start at the roadblocks. They're going to have to, you know, fight their way in to start with. So people are less inclined to want to do that. And one old codger said, you know, I'll just wait. Doesn't matter. He said, why do I go up there? He said, I got feds right here. So if you read Unintended Consequences or Enemies Foreign and Domestic by Matt Bracken and some of these scenarios could actually start playing out. And it's going to be unfortunate if it does, because it's going to, people are going to take that one extra step and there'll be no coming back. When it starts, there's not going to be any, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's going to be down to basically last man standing for all practical purposes. And what, you know, these fights have been fought and they've been won through the judicial system. The judges have ruled in favor of private property rights before. There is a, who is this guy? It was S.A., trying to think of this one case here where a guy beat him on water rights. But I said, you know, not everybody can afford to go to court with this. If you can't afford to put money into a good lawyer, there's no point in you going. You're just going to be throwing good money after bad, and nothing's going to change. But, you know, these people got to have $100,000, $250,000 to get into this. What about the people that are having their rights taken every day? Their lives taken. Their livelihood taken. Every day. Everywhere. It's all over. What about them? What about the ones that can't afford all the legal help? You know, this is getting more and more frequent. There's only so many organizations out there that can offer a little bit of free help and advice. You can only do that for so long. You can only do it for so many people before the options start playing out. Well, we've used up that one. Now what? And I told you yesterday what Jan Morgan wrote, which it's extremely disappointing to me. It's very disappointing. I wish I could think of that guy's name. He fought the BLM. Kit Laney fought the BLM and he lost. But, you know, they got him on, I think I told you last night, they got him on assaulting a federal officer because his horse reared and knocked some idiot down that shined a flashlight, you know, turned a flashlight on right beside the horse and spooked him. And he jumped and knocked him down. Didn't hurt him, didn't break any bones, didn't draw any blood, didn't even bruise him, just knocked him down. And Kit Laney was charged with assaulting a federal officer. And it was a bogus bunch of crap. You know, they got him in jail and out of the way long enough that he wouldn't cause him any problems, and then went in there and they trucked his cows out of there and did the same thing that they're doing up there in Nevada, right? The same thing they've done to other people. And by and large, most people are just sitting back watching. The average person out there doesn't even have any idea that this is even going on. On account of there ain't nothing on the mainstream media at all about this that I have seen. I don't know if Alex Jones is mainstream media or not, but I think he's the only one that said anything about it. So in that case, he's, God bless him for putting the news out there, because it is happening. I know for a fact, without Alex Jones and without all the stuff on the internet, I absolutely know what is going on up there. And I know about the snipers and some other things that, in spite of anything that you might hear on the internet or papers or whatever. So many people in the country don't have any idea that this is even happening. Wouldn't believe that their government would do this. Now, there is a group up there that called Operation Mutual Aid, and I don't know what group it is, but that's the name of the operation here. They've put an email out. I read this yesterday. I read it last night after I got off the air. They said, "We've made the decision to mobilize to Nevada. Units are underway as I type this. The feds arrested some protesters today, and the words 'we need to know,' or 'we need you now,' were uttered. I ask everyone to keep my number very near," and the number was blacked out here. "If you are pulled over by law enforcement, call me before pulling over, if at all possible, so I can keep track of such things and do what I'm able to from here to correct the situation. At this time, we have approximately 150 responding, but that number is growing by the hour. Here are directions and coordinates for the ranch." And so that's, I don't know what, where that's at right now, but 150 people, that's a pretty good chunk out of the, compared to the give or take 200 armed feds that there are surrounding this ranch. So if a ideally what I would like to see happen, if I had any control over this, what I would like to see is that 500 armed militia members pull up there and surround the surrounders and say, "Okay, guys, it's your play." I really don't think that anybody would be willing to play the game. I think that there would be some muttering and uttering and cussing and discussing, and things would break up peacefully and they'd go on. Will that happen? Probably not. If it does, will it continue to be peaceful? I don't know. That's going to tax people's discipline levels to the extreme. There's likely to be, tempers are, fuses are short enough right now that anything could happen. Something could happen in spite of the orders, suggestions that they are given. There's bound to be somebody there that watching somebody through a scope on one side or the other. I'm not saying our guys, their guys. One side or the other, probably more likely on their side, misinterpret a movement or see something, somebody has a radio in their hand and mistake it for a gun, or any number of things that could happen. And if somebody pulls the trigger, it's going to be a mess. Yeah, I saw Kilo. I saw Guerrilla News Network. They've got quite a bit of stuff on it there. I don't know too much about them, but they seem to be covering it pretty well. That's what I was wondering, Kilo. They're here. Are they outside or inside? It doesn't matter. If there's enough of them outside, then that could even be probably better than having them on the inside. But I don't know whether to say I'm anxious to see how this plays out. I'm really not, because I'm afraid that it may go bad. And if it does, I'm not anxious to hear that. It's going to be interesting, tense, anxious. The emotion, anxious, you know. So we'll play it by ear, see what happens. Sooner or later, yeah, once, one way or another, sooner or later it has to go bad. Whether it'll be this incident, another one down the road, or some off-the-wall, unrelated to anything, out of the clear blue sky, something happens in Iowa or Wyoming or something, you know, where nobody even thought of anything happening. But I give up. I don't know. Yeah. What if it happens to the Amish? Now they're selling raw milk and stuff, right? So how come they have the SWAT haven't invaded them? Well, you know what? I don't think that there are enough people that would stand up for the Amish. And that's unfortunate. I certainly don't condone that. There should be stand up for them even more so because of their inability or less ability to protect themselves. Contrary to popular belief, there are things in some Amish homes that would help with that protection, but not a lot. And rights at risk, you are dead on the money, honey. That's exactly right. That's our switch right there. There'll be an agent provocateur in there somewhere. And wherever it is, whether it's with this incident or somewhere else, I very much think that is a strong possibility of what could happen there. So, anyway. Alrighty. Well, give me a few minutes here.
I'll be back.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here.
8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day. And Earth is near their grandpa.
Come.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Yeah, there is no doubt. Oh, stop. Thank you. There is no doubt whatsoever that they're monitoring this, that the feds are monitoring the chat rooms and blogs and radio shows and stuff like that. No doubt whatsoever. So tell them, don't hold back. Let them know what you think. Ty Jax, you say the people us or the people them? You think the people will back down? Our people? I don't know which one do you mean. Texas Sheepdog, you say folks keep asking what it's going to take for Americans to take a stand. I'm afraid it is a martyr. I don't know if a martyr is going to do it, Sheepdog. We had a martyr in Randy Weaver's wife. We had 70 some martyrs in Waco. We've had martyrs every few weeks for the last 20 years. We've had good guys on our side killed, murdered repeatedly. Not that you can murder somebody repeatedly, but you know what I mean. This has been going on for a while. I tell you what it's going to take. Ultimately, you know, we've talked about this a bunch of times when I said that, imprisoned as well. Yeah, lots of them. We've talked about this a number of times, about that people are just not hurting bad enough. One of two things is going to start this. Now, they may have some trick up their sleeve that I haven't thought of, but I think that one of two things is going to break this loose. One, as I've said before, John Galt said it, Bobby said it, when ABT cards quit working, when the welfare system breaks down, when the financial system is broke. You know, remember, look at how many bankers, like, we continue to have high-level bankers killed, committed suicide, whatever. That's quite a coincidence that many bankers would die in that shorter period of time, whatever they died of. Do they know something that we don't? I'm thinking, yeah. So when the government help stops. Yeah, Hopper, that's one of them. When the Social Security stops, when the EBT cards quit working, when all of this stuff fails, that's going to be a matter of, you know, a matter of just a few hours. I don't mean a few like 12 or 15. I mean a few like 2 or 3. You know, by the time 12 hours has gone by, it's going to be full-scale rioting all over the country. The other thing, and the one thing that we've said, all of us have said, you know, at one point or another, it's going to be when they go to take the guns. You know, this whole thing in Nevada right now may be something to take people's minds off what's going on in New York and Connecticut. hopefully the people in New York and Connecticut are not buying into it. The next revolution may start not too far from where the first one did. And there is a tremendous amount of non-compliance going on up there. We talked about those numbers yesterday, but it's almost 100% non-compliance. Much more than 95%. That's they're being tested. What are they going to do? How are they going to deal with it? Are they going to go door to door and start picking them up? Friend, when that happens, it's going to be game on, and I think they know that. Yeah, they can knock out a few of them in the middle of the night, you know, with come in there at 4 o'clock in the morning and get a few, but they have a million guns to find in New York. And that's going to be tough. When this happens, do you think that all of the people are just going to continue to sit and wait for them to come to their house? Let me read a quote for you that I want you to think about real hard. How we burned in the prison camps, later thinking, what would things have been like if every police operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive? If during periods of mass arrests, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and every step on the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever was at hand. The organs would have quickly have suffered a shortage of officers. And notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. I'm probably going to read that every day for a while. I want you to think long and hard about what those people went through, what they had to lose compared to what they had to gain. Do I think the people will back down, Ty Jax? Some of them will. But I think they've pushed long enough and hard enough that there'll be some that's going to pack up their gear, kiss the wife, fully expecting that they may not make it home. Or fully accepting, not expecting. Accepting the fact that they may not be coming home. Rights at Risk, I think there's a lot of people that are like you. It's a long ways away. Costs money. Takes time. Takes a dependable vehicle. There you go, to Tinker. We talked about that earlier, and these people will riot. They rioted in Connecticut. They rioted in Tucson. Over a stupid frickin' ball game. Put that energy into protecting your rights. Will the people back down? In the beginning, probably a lot of them will. Reason being, when those first people start dying, when they see that how this affects the people that they're with and their families, their personal belongings meaning weapons, vehicles, gear. People have to go off and leave stuff. It gets destroyed. It gets confiscated. Gets stolen. Any number of things. Gets shot up, ruined. You add all these things together, yeah, people are going to go home. They're going to go home and say, you know what? We should have never done this. It would have blown over. It would be all right. And we're going to experience a setback. But it'll be resolved 60 days, maybe. It'll be resolved, and it'll be back, right back at it again. I still wish that if we had enough people that were serious. The problem is, or part of the problem is, there's too many patriots out there that they think they want to fight. I don't want to fight. I want a resolution. I want a resolution without a fight. That's what I want. I want to see maybe some tense moments, but I'd like to see things go back to not to normal, because normal people would consider normal what we are now. We are not normal right now. We have not been normal for many, many years. I would like to see things get back. We are at a new normal here. We have achieved this new normal back in 40s, 50s. If you wanted to get real serious about it, you can go back quite a bit farther than that. But is it possible that this could happen without bloodshed? Possible. To say that something is impossible is that's pretty strong words. To say something is impossible. To say something that is extraordinarily unlikely probably would be a little better. No, it's not impossible. But it is highly unlikely. How many times I've said this on this show, I have no idea. But I keep thinking, I tell you, it's not going to happen as long as we continue to sit on our ass and listen to the radio and watch the TV and read the papers and rah, 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 and talk to the people down at the beer joint, and the people at church, and the people at the barber shop, and the grocery store, and rah, rah, rah. You know, this wonderful thing. We're on and on. It's just not going to happen that way. If 500 militia members armed to the frickin' teeth set out on this area in Nevada and set up out there from a half a mile away and set up a 50 here and there around the perimeter and had another good strong line in there 400 or 500 yards away, and you send a group of reasonable, logical, articulate, God-fearing men into under a white flag up to the line and say, okay, folks, here are your options. If that were to happen, would they want to save face and not back down? What if they didn't back down and lost? If they decided not to back down and lost that fight, that would be a whole lot worse for them than not backing down. I mean, backing down and, would they call in the military? I've thought about that too. When they start doing that, I think that there'll be more people, you know, ACLU. ACLU has been some rulings on our side here lately. But there'll be a lot of people say, hey, you can't do that. Posse Comitatus supposedly will prevent them from doing that. Yeah, they can't stand losing a fight. That's right. We can't either. I'm just saying that if rights at risk, and unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah, you're probably right. They probably would. But now, so what if they do? There are patriots all over this country. There are militia groups in every state in the Union. Whether there's five people in them or 50 or 400, there are groups everywhere. If they call in the military, I think they understand at that point. Now, whether it would have any impact on their thinking, I don't know. But I think they understand that then it is game on everywhere in the country. There'll be no need to come to Nevada to fight. It will be everywhere. And it will be the absolute, hands down, bar none, most horrific thing that this country has ever experienced. Many times over. And if there is anybody out there looking forward to that, you are a freak. You're a freaking idiot. But many of us are looking forward to the outcome. We're looking forward to the resolution. See how, what's the word I'm trying to say? The new Oath Keepers? No. Oath Keepers as an organization, I don't think will do anything. There may be some people that belong to Oath Keepers that might, yeah. Do I think any militia groups are organized enough to do that? Well, you know what? They are scattered. They are numerous. But I'll tell you what. I know right now that they are, they're talking. Organization is forthcoming, I think, at least to some degree. And Hopper, that's it. We're looking forward to the end, not while it's going, looking forward to this all being over and getting the Constitution restored and carrying on. But my, I say that as a, I guess what I would consider a realist, when knowing full well that there is so little possibility of this happening without a fight. So little. But still, at the same time, in the same breath, saying, you know, we've got to try. We've got to do right up until, you know, bullets start flying. We have to continue to try to get this through peacefully. And try to do everything that we can do to get this through here peacefully. I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
I just hate stupid people.
Everybody to get out and get vocal. We have not nearly enough people out there. Such a very small few of us that really go out and make any noise. Now, sometimes we'll get out when there's other people that do it, but a lot of us are unwilling to get out and do it on our own, you know, as a either as a small group or as individuals, because we just don't want to be singled out. We don't want to accept the fact that there might be maybe, possibly, some small repercussions for doing this. If there's going to be repercussions, make sure that you're right about what you do, and repercussions be damned. Just deal with it. Life is pretty short, ladies and gentlemen. We have a finite amount of time here to enjoy our life on this earth. We have an eternity to live with what we did during this time that we were on this earth. Now, if you think about, let me see if we can put this in perspective here. Take a whole ball, a whole roll of brand new, unopened roll of cotton string, and unroll that ball all the way out to the end, and then take a straight pen, or take your ink pen and make a little dot somewhere in the middle of that. That little dot represents the time that you're going to be on this earth. That whole roll of string, that little dot represents how long you're going to be here. And that string, all the rest of that, represents how long you're going to be somewhere else. And you're going to have that amount of time to think about how you conducted yourself during that finite time period. And if you look at it in that respect, you say, well, I don't want anybody to holler at me. I don't want anybody to get mad. I don't want it to affect my social life. I don't want to, people at church to not sit by me because I've done this. What matters is you're right. What matters is can you stand when this is over with? When your life here is done, can you stand upright with your shoulders back and your head high in front of your Heavenly Father and say, I did everything that I could do to save my country or to save my family, to spread the gospel, to do whatever it is that you did on this earth? I don't want to have to walk up there with shoulders slumped forward and head down and say, you know, I was just scared. I was just too lazy. I just didn't want my friends to think of me as a radical or something. I just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I ain't gonna cut it. You've got a certain amount of time to make sure that your life is going to be squared away when you leave here. Now, this isn't a Sunday school class, but this is the way I look at how I conduct myself on this earth. Believe you me, in my past, there's been some things I'm definitely going to have to answer for. But from here on out, I'm going to try to make up for some of those things and see if I can redeem myself in front of my Redeemer and see if I can live
but the high school for eternity is now
comfortably without worrying all that time about what I should have done or could have done. Now, what you should have done or could have done may not always be exactly what someone else thinks you should have done or could have done. It is not necessarily what matters, is what you believe in your heart. What you can, not you know, looking past the fear or the inconvenience or the effort that you're going to have to put into it, the money that you may spend, looking past that, you know in your heart is right. No one can really believe in their heart that you could, that sitting back and watching somebody else do everything for your benefit is right. Now, they may say, if you ask them or in their private conversation, they'll say, well, you know, somebody's got to do it. That's a problem I have. And anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time, I've said over the years many, many times, I hate it when somebody says somebody ought to do something. Who in the hell are you? How do you shave in the morning? How do you put on your makeup? How do you look in the mirror and nobody's there? Are you somebody? If you're somebody, then how about let's get off that ass and go out there and act like you're somebody. We are all somebodies, and you're gonna want to think you're somebody when you go up to stand before your Heavenly Father on Judgment Day. You're gonna sure want to think you're somebody. Well, now would be a good time to start proving that. Now would be a good time to start on that difficult journey. Now, nobody here wants to die. The question is, do we love our country and our family and our Creator enough to be willing to, if we have to? If that's what it comes to help save everything, then we have to be willing to ask ourselves and answer honestly, are you willing to do that? Now, being willing to and wanting to are two totally different things. Being willing to do it makes you a very formidable foe, a very formidable enemy. Not wanting to do it, not wanting to die, makes you extremely effective. Formidable, fierce, but effective because we don't want to die. We're going to use everything in our power not to, but if we must, to further the cause, to be able to stand up and be proud of what we've done, respectful when that time comes, then it's just what we have to do, I reckon. And don't think that I haven't spent many, many, many hours pondering on this question. You know, there's people out there that says, you know, I've got kids, and I want to watch them finish growing up. I want to watch them get married and have kids. But in order for them to be able to do that in a free country, there may come a time when some of us might have to, well, there will come a time when some of us will have to put on our big boy panties and get out there and take the bull by the horns and make some gigantic effort to save this country.
Okay, we're back. Let's see if we can. Never mind. There's a video out there. I've seen, if I don't know how many there are, but I saw one about the tasing the protesters out there, And you really have to just kind of read the caption and use your imagination to see what's going on out there. But yeah, they are, apparently they are tasing some of the protesters there, at the, turning some of them around. And as long as they, where did I saw a comment up here by Ty Jacks. Let me see. Where is this? Yeah, Ty Jack said, confused. I don't want to see this country fall into war, but how do we make this stop? That's the question right there. Another peaceful way, you know, it won't happen, but another peaceful way to have this done is for, by some miracle, of course it'll be too late to stop stuff that's in progress right now, but by some miracle, this coming election, this year, if every single office that was up for grabs, every last one of them, that we got a constitutional, God-fearing individual in there with balls. You know, if we had a whole lot more Trey Gowdy's in there, whole lot more, there would I think we'd see some changes in the not too distant future. If we had enough in there that would set up there and say, okay, here's the Constitution, here's the rule book, here's the law, here's what we do, here's what governs our actions here, this is what we will go by. Maybe we'd see some changes. But when it comes down to it, let's change gears here and think about this from a different direction. Without war, how do we stop them? Yeah, that's, you know, there's a couple of ways, but it's so absolutely unlikely that it's hardly worth discussing. But let's look at this from a different way. Here we are worried about how we're going to stop this and put it back like it was. Okay, let me tell you a real short answer. It is impossible. It cannot be done. You know why? Because this is God's plan. This is part of it. This is what happens. We have been told. We know that this has to happen at some point. The rights at risk, don't get PO'd over the sheriff. That sheriff is bought and paid for. He's never met a Fed he didn't like. If that's why they did that in Clark County and not in Nye County or pretty much any other county in Nevada. There are some good sheriffs in Nevada, a lot of them. I've got some of them on video saying that, you know, what they would do and all that, but not in Clark County. So if we go back and think about what's happening here, I think that whenever it is supposed to happen, it will. I think that, to tinker, I'm okay with that. Whenever it is supposed to happen, it will happen, irregardless of anything that we do. When the time is right, it's going to bust loose. People that are not God-fearing individuals wonder whether or not we're going to win. I don't. I wonder how bad it's going to be, how long it's going to last, how many people are going to die. But I don't wonder who's going to win. It never crosses my mind for a moment. It is absolutely the single most furthest thing from my mind ever is whether or not we're going to win. I do wonder how many of us will be left when we do. Kilo, think about this for a minute. Along the same lines of what I just got through saying, let's take your statement there. The feds are the ones with the big organization and a plan. Well, true enough. Lots of guns, lots of stuff that we don't have. Militias, barely organized, still trying to figure out what we're going to do. But think about this. Along the same, keeping in mind what I believe, what I just said, is that we will win, and that providing that we do as we are admonished to do, that I think we'll get plenty of help. In what form might that help come? How did God help Moses? Moses was right. He was with righteous people. How did God help George Washington? Do you remember, I should have got the name of that, I forgot that island or that area where they were at. But there was a place where George Washington and his troops were pinned and pretty much no way out. What happened to him? There was a real heavy fog came in at just the right time and allowed them to walk out right under their noses, and they slipped out untouched. Was that a coincidence? Not on your life. That was a God-fearing man leading righteous people. How bad and how hard... What am I looking for? How bad a shape were these people in? George Washington's troops. Malnourished, many of them barefooted, most of them without good coats, but they were fighting the good fight for the right reason. And in spite of, and they were being tested, and they tested them to the max. We can expect the same thing. We can expect heavy losses. We can expect to get to a point where we can't just run back to the house and change boots. And get to the point where that last pair of socks now is nothing but threads. We have to throw them away. We can expect that all the preparations that we have possibly made, every conceivable thing that we have done, is not going to be enough for most of us. And that's the thing that we have to be prepared for. That's the thing we have to realize that we're not immune from. We're the good guys fighting the good fight. And the when it's all said and done, when it's over? Think about this, Kilo. Let's just for the sake of entertainment here, entertain me. The gulags, the killing fields of Cambodia, the genocides in Africa. Yes, that, but were those what you would consider? This is, and you don't have to answer this. It's rhetorical. Would you consider these to all be righteous, good people? And another part of that question, whether the question to that is yes or no, doesn't matter. What if, for the sake of argument, these things happened for our benefit? What if the Holocaust and all of this stuff happened for us? Yes, lots of people died. Ultimately, was it something to teach us what we should and shouldn't do, what we should and should not allow? To save what I consider some of God's choicest people. Just food for thought. There's lots of what ifs and lots of it depends on how you believe, how much you believe in coincidence, and what you think of the ultimate plan here. Yeah, no way to answer it. Nobody will ever know. It'll be interesting. I won't say we'll never know. I think those of us that have the opportunity to get in the right place at the right time in the hereafter may learn some very important things. You look back and say, oh, that makes perfect sense now. Now I know why that happened. We have people that are born... I know I'm getting way off on a tangent here, so forgive me if I lose you, but we have people that are born no arms, no legs. We have people that lose all the limbs in terrible accidents and all this, but then we find out that those people, because they are righteous and because they are good people. They go and perform these motivational speeches in different places, and because of what happened to them, how many people have they saved? Was it worth losing 6 million Jews to teach what may save 300 million Americans? It's a hard thing to answer. It may be really stretching things out there, It's something to ponder. However stupid you may feel that I'm getting tonight, I just have a lot of things on my mind, and I'm sharing them with you. Ty Jax, good night, buddy. Thanks for joining us. There are, I think that if you are truly a God-fearing person, I'm starting to sound like a preacher up here. If you're truly a God-fearing person, do you not believe that everything happens for a reason? Do you or don't you? Some people say there are no coincidences. If you believe that everything happens for a reason, then you have to believe that the gulags and the killing fields of Cambodia and all this stuff happened for a reason. What was the reason? Was it to let the Nazis and Pol Pot and them achieve power, or was it to achieve and enjoy the power to instill fear in the people? Or was it, do you think there's any possibility that some of this could have happened for our benefit? Do we look over there and see, my God, these people allowed themselves to be disarmed, and look what has happened? I don't know if that's a legitimate, reasonable thing to consider or not. I don't know. But I do think, you know, maybe there are a few things. Maybe there are a few little coincidences. Maybe, let me tell you a coincidence. This is a coincidence, okay? It did not happen for a reason. Once upon a time, I was driving by El Camino, and my cousin was sitting in the middle, Larry, and John Wayne was sitting over on the passenger side. John Wayne was, I told you about that Indian friend of mine that was orphaned, and missionaries raised him, and he was literally, quite honestly, named after John Wayne, the movie star. They did a movie right in his area about that time. They had no idea who he was or where he came from or anything else. They named him John Wayne. Later on, they found out what his last name was, and they just made Wayne his middle name, and then they added his last name to him. So John Wayne was sitting on the other side. So my cousin's sitting in the middle, and he's trying to hand us, one of us, this book of matches. You know, we light a cigarette back in my smoking days. And me and John Wayne are talking, and so we're down to our last beer, and we're headed to the house. We're sharing. So about the time John Wayne goes to hand me the beer, I reached over to get it, which is over reaching across Larry, who was sitting in the middle. And about that time, he just decided to throw this matchbook up in the air. Well, when he did, it landed right under my thumb at the exact moment that I grabbed that beer can. That was a coincidence. Did not happen for a reason. But when you look at the things that we're talking about in the magnitude that we're talking about, the Holocaust and all that, that was not a coincidence. That was something that has happened for a reason. Did we learn, Kilo? I think enough of us learned to teach others. Some of us here are going to have to push hard that knowledge, those principles on others when the time comes. I think that it's about time for us to go through Sundown at Coffin Rock, Part 1 and Part 2 again. I think that there are lessons in that story. And we may have to, of course, I don't know when I'll be able to do it. Now, remember, we've got our constitutional genius coming in here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, second hour of the show. Actually, I guess I could do it during the first hour. He'll be coming in during the second hour of the show all 3 days. We're going to talk about jurisdiction. We're going to talk about nullification. We're going to talk about how to win individual battles, if not winning the or fighting the main war here. And I think that every hard lesson you ever learned happened for a reason. That makes perfect sense, right? It's a risk. It makes absolute sense. I think we are better people because of it. Some of those lessons may have cost us quite a bit. Some of those lessons may have cost us a lot of money. It may have cost friends. It may have cost a spouse, a relationship. But did they happen for a reason? I think so. Once upon a time, I was in Battle Mountain, Nevada, and I had been inactive away from the church for some time, years. long time. And I, my mom and them had come down to Battle Mountain and were going to spend some time with us. And it was a Sunday morning, and we were all going to go out and have a picnic and stuff. And they all were getting ready to go to church. And I said, okay, sounds good. Y'all go ahead, and I will go on out and get a fire going and get some things ready for camping. And I drove out there, and I was heading out of town. I got about 5-6 miles out of town. And I'll tell you, just as sure as I'm sitting here right now, that it felt like something grabbed that steering wheel, and we shut that truck down, turned it around, almost sliding in the middle of the road, and I headed back to town. And I dashed into the, I didn't even have any real, what was be considered real, good church clothes or anything, but I went and got in some of the best clothes that I had, and my good clothes were for partying, not going to church. And I went up there, and I showed up in the church, and you should have seen the look on my mother's face. Absolutely priceless. And that was the beginning of turning me around. It still took quite a while, but that was the beginning of turning me around. So I think that through a culmination of things that happened that morning, happened for a reason. I think that day put me where I'm at today, or started me in that direction anyway.
I'll be back.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day.
Come. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct cowbum every time you turn the radio on, join Colt Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
Folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie. For you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on The Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hit. And there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air. Rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, let's get off of this for a little while. This happened this morning. You've probably heard it by now. There was a mass stabbing in a school in Pennsylvania, high school in Pennsylvania. Two kitchen knives. There were four, let's see. They charged this kid as an adult, four counts of attempted homicide, 21 counts of aggravated assault, one count of possession of a weapon on school grounds. With two kitchen knives, he attacked a, let's see, I can't find all the, I don't think the amount of counts and charges coincide with the number of people there. But nevertheless, we had a mass stabbing. So, and to stop this, this went on for 5 minutes. Went on for 5 minutes. Where were the other? There was a security guard stabbed. I don't know if everybody run, including the teachers. Finally, an assistant principal, Sam King, tackled the guy and brought him down. And the school resource officer was able to put cuffs on him. In this instance, would you call the assistant principal a hero? Yeah, probably so. You know, we didn't hear anything about the stabbing in China. There's been two mass stabbings in China in the last several months. One of them was, well, it's been over a year now, I guess.
One of them was the day that the Newtown shooting happened. 22, 26 kids stabbed. Killed, if I remember right, if I remember the story correctly. But we didn't hear anything about that in mainstream media news. But I don't know if we will start to see knife restrictions. I mean, I don't know what else you can do in a school to make it, you know, all you got to do is draw a picture of a knife on a napkin during lunch and you're in trouble. All you have to do is twirl a pencil in what manner, I have no clue, but twirl a pencil and be kicked out of school. Because you might be thinking about violently taking over the school for twirling that pencil. We talked about that yesterday. I don't know what other restrictions they can put on schools. I can see possibly, this is off the wall here, but maybe making school an hour or so longer a day, not allowing any backpacks in or out. You bring your backpack on the first day of school, it's inspected and kept in a secure area, and every morning you get your backpack. When you come through, you walk through a metal detector and you go and get your backpack with your books. You make the school an hour longer each day so you can get your homework done, because we can't let you be taking stuff home that you have to bring back the next day, because we can't be going through every backpack every day. So you leave everything there. You go and do your stuff. If there's some research you can do on your computer, that's fine, but you can't take your backpack home. You have to wear certain clothes when you come to school the next day, because we have to be able to check you out completely to let you go into the secure area so that you can get your stuff to go to go on to your classes. You're not allowed to leave campus during lunch, period. You're not allowed to go to your car. You come in, you're on lockdown until 4:30 in the afternoon, and then you're allowed to go, and we start it all over again tomorrow. Would that eliminate the possibility of school shootings and mass stabbings? No, it wouldn't. What would cut way down on that is to allow teachers, trained teachers, and principals, and janitors, and cafeteria workers, trained, approved, certified to carry guns. Yep, that would very much teach the kids about a police state, absolutely. But it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Yeah, this kid, what did he stab 20-some people? An adult and 19 or 20 or 22 kids. I don't remember what it was. They're charging him as an adult. And you know, I saw it. Let me find it here. Let me see if I can find a headline that I saw just a while ago. Maybe this is it. Anyway, it said something about how this stabbing rattled a small, quiet town, or something along those lines. Maybe it's over here. Well, I must have closed it out already. I don't know. Panic and chaos. Here it is. Stabbing shatters peace in quiet upscale community. This is what I have warned people about for years. It's going to happen everywhere. You are not immune from this. You're not totally safe from this anywhere that you are. You greatly reduce the chances by homeschooling. You greatly reduce the chances by doing your shopping at certain times of the day. Hang on a minute. I might have some breaking news here. Stand by 1 second. Hang on. This looked important. Live report. All right. Stand by. We may have something here. Hold on just a minute. This might be something. Stay with me a minute. Okay. Here is a live report from the riot at Bundy Ranch 5 hours ago. This is, and I can tell you already that this is not going to be entirely true because I can see one thing in it right there. It talked about killing cows. If there was something happened where somebody may have shot one or two, but there was not a mass killing of cows as this went on. Hang on here a minute. We're going to start.
So for those
this.
Of you that are just joining us at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, north of Las Vegas, the Bureau of Land Management has been.
Now let me tell you, I haven't listened to this. I don't know how bad. I don't know if there's any bad language. You know, I'll shut it off immediately, and I apologize in advance if this happens. But let's see.
Has been closing and trying to kick the Bundys off their land. They've been stealing cattle. Not the Bundys, the BLM, is, obviously. It's the government that's doing the stealing here. And all of this is allegedly for the purpose of protecting the desert tortoise. But what they're doing is, as we heard from Pete earlier, finally strictly enforcing their land usage laws and saying that, you know, if you step out of your car, if it's on the dirt, you are stepping into protected BLM land and subject to arrest. And what we heard from Pete was that one of the sons in the Bundy family was actually detained for 3 days as a result. Pete, are you with us?
Ken, how much time do we have, by the way? Is it just a short segment?
As much as you need to tell the story. We're doing a special live broadcast. We've already finished our live show, and we've invited people to join us who want to hear from someone who is on the ground. We are broadcasting this live right now so that you can get your story out.
Okay, here's what happened. As soon as I concluded with you, we've got satellite trucks out here. I moved my vehicle, and as I was moving my vehicle, we have strike teams out here. Essentially, when they see these BLM guys come out of the hills with 15 to 20 they come out of the hills with 15 to 20 in a caravan. Included in that caravan, in every single caravan, especially recently, they've got this figured out. They have on a flatbed, they have a backhoe, and they have a dump truck. And now this is coming from a family that's been doing this since 1877, okay? This is what they're saying. They're saying that they're corralling these cattle too quickly. Some of them are either too wild and won't comply, okay? And then therefore it's easier to kill them, or they're actually pushing them too hard and they're dying out there. So what they're doing is they're burying these cattle out in the middle of nowhere land.
So now they're coming in and just not stealing cattle, just killing them and not even butchering them or getting any value. They're just burying them in the desert.
Dude, you know what? Here's what we wanted to do. And I said we because I was part of that small little strike team that, you know, I mean, I got done with you. I'm charging up my stuff. And then I joined this little convoy of about 120 people. So 120 of us in vehicles went to stop the convoy from coming out of the hills. And what we were going to do, stop the convoy and call the sheriff's department and have them come and investigate to find out if these backhoes and these dump trucks are being used for the purposes of killing animals. Because there is no court order, as far as I'm aware of, that would offer that mandate to or give them the authority to bury cattle out in the middle of BLM territory.
So how did this unfold to the point where it was being described as a riot in the middle of the desert?
No, this is 100% factually correct. This is what happened. Several people tried to get in front of the convoy of 15 to 20 vehicles. Okay. I actually pointed my nose as I was going up the road. There was no room for two vehicles. I put my nose right at one of the SUVs, and I said, "Could you please stop? I need to speak with the supervisor." And then at that point, doors started flying open. That one SUV started to push me back. Actually, put the bumper of their grill, and I backed up and I parked and I totally complied. And I said, I just needed to speak with the supervisor. I asked to speak with the supervisor. By that time, the 120 civilians, essentially, that tried to stop that convoy, especially the dump truck and the backhoe, got in the way. I would say there were close to, let's say, 20 armed with tasers and ARs and sidearms. And they immediately began throwing women to the ground. And this is on camera. I have the video being uploaded right now. Women being thrown to the ground and several men being tased. And ultimately, the crowd became so incensed by what was happening. These are family members of theirs that were thrown to the ground. There was a 50-something-year-old woman who had cancer, was a member of the Bundy family. She was thrown to the ground by a man in BLM uniform. Go ahead.
So it sounds like if you had 120, it was short enough of the critical mass of resistance that BLM decided to move in and deal with 120 people before they had to deal with 10,000 people. Do you think that strategically the way they carried this out was somehow let's nip this in the bud before it becomes a bigger protest?
No, I think they got caught off guard. They didn't think that we were serious about stopping that convoy because we believed, and I, based on what I was hearing from the family members, we believe that they may have been committing crimes by killing.
All right, I'll give you a link to this. I can tell you, I can't tell you how I know, but I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt that there was not a mass killing of cattle. There may have been some pushed too hard. There may have been a few died in the process. I don't know, but I'm pretty confident that that didn't happen. I am absolutely guaranteed beyond any doubt that there has not been a mass killing of cattle. Someday maybe I can tell you how I know that, but not now. What this broadcast is, and those of you that have been hanging out with me for a while know that I am not a fan of this man, and that is Adam Kokesh. Adam Kokesh is, he's the one doing this. It's part of the Adam and the Man and all that. I'll just leave it at that. I'll put a link in there to the video for you. It's 12 minutes long, and I'm not going to say that it's not worth watching because there is some truth to this, and there's some video and stuff to back it up, and I'm sure that however it is presented, that most of it is based on fact. All I know is that I know beyond a doubt that there was no mass killing of cows. I know that those cows that, I'm sure there may have been some that died. Yeah, that's entirely possible during the, Kokesh got out of jail not too late, not too awful long ago. It's entirely possible that some of those cows were pushed too hard and they may have died. They may have, any number of things. If that happened, they wouldn't be worth eating. So you might as well either bury them or burn them. But they did not execute the cows. They did not slaughter the cows and bury them. So I'm going to put I'll put a link in there for right now. And you guys can watch this later on if you want. I frankly not a fan of Adam Kokesh. But what do we got going on? I tell you what, boy, I got text messages and emails coming until hell won't have it from everywhere. So keep an eye on this. We're not done with this yet. There will be more stuff happening. In the meantime, let me remind you of a couple of things. I'm fixing to scoot on out of here in a minute. We have another awesome combat medic class coming up at Schott's Ranch in the first weekend of May. And we need to have a couple of more people in that to make it a reality. You can't receive this kind of training commercially anywhere, I don't think. This is something that you can only get by enlisting for, you know, like 8 years. It wouldn't be in your first 4 years. It would be after you would be allowed to get into other units. This is stuff that you cannot typically just go out and buy. So we'd like to see some of you join us for the combat medic class with Edge of the Woods teaching. And we'd also like to see you come in. We have another one that is carved in stone the first weekend of June, which is a 3-day armorers class. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we have a couple of listeners already committed to that one. So that one will be happening. You need to join me. I can't say that yet. Never mind. You need to join me Monday evening in the second hour, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, for probably the best lesson in constitutional issues, jurisdiction, nullification that money can buy. Money can't buy. This guy has been on the show with me before. It's been about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. No, it's been 2 years ago. And most of you probably don't remember him. We've got a lot of new listeners since then, but you need to tune in to that show. There's some other news that I'm gonna have to hold on to for a little bit until I'm able to talk to a couple of people. There may be some changes coming up, so I'll let you know about that as soon as I can. So with all of that being said, now that I've got your frustration in order here and your curiosity up and your ire up, and everybody's wondering what in the world the next day is going to bring, I guess I'll just politely bow out of here, and I'll see you in the morning for Amy's show and for Living Way Out Here. And she'll be off Friday, and then I sorely wanted to go out to Schott's Ranch this weekend, but what I may do instead is there's a Thomas Jefferson, what they call a Thomas Jefferson dinner going on here, and I may go and spend some time promoting Schott's Ranch, and we'll see. I'll decide on that tomorrow for sure. Anyway, I got to get out of here. I got to go make sure all my gear is in order and magazines are loaded, and we'll see you later. Thank you.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.